At Mount Lehigh Seminary, I had a campus job at UNC. Well, in the later years, I was the student head of computer services, which was a really fancy way of saying I was $6 an hour tech support, but you get what you pay for, I guess. I think it was in my senior year. It was early on in the year. We were still just getting started. One of the major jobs that had to happen from all of the tech support crew is they had to make sure that the computers were safe to get on the network because people were allowed to bring their own computers. So we certified them at the beginning of every year. I still remember at the beginning point at my final year there, one of my classmates mentioned to me, he said, my computer's acting funny. I'm having a problem. I said, well, what's the struggle? And he described to me the problem. I said, okay, I think I know what's wrong. I'll come and I'll fix it this afternoon, probably between 2 and 3 o'clock. I have a 1 o'clock appointment, so between 2 and 3 o'clock I'll be there. And he said, okay, what do you think's wrong with it? And I looked at him, a little untrusting, and said, why? He said, well, just so I have an idea. Okay, well, I explained why I thought was wrong. Sounded like a couple of components were stuck. I was just going to take them apart, clean them out, put them back in. Everything should be right as rain. Everything should be okay. I said, okay. And I headed off. And sure enough, I had a 1 o'clock meeting, and I finished that about 1:30, and I went over to his room half an hour early. How much more prompt could you ask for? When I arrived, I knocked on the door, and he opened the door, and he looked at me, and he said, I think I went a little too far. And I looked, and his computer was in about 150 pieces all over his floor. He had pulled apart literally everything that he thought would move. He had actually pulled apart solders. And I didn't ever break down a computer that far. I never had to glue back together or solder back together. Memory, I was amazed at the level of disassembly that we had achieved. Because what I wanted to do was to pull out four screws, use an air gun, and put four screws back in. It should have taken me 45 minutes, tops. It took me almost 6 days to rebuild his computer. It was this kind of terrifying thing where people wonder why I don't trust them. I have to ask questions like, why? And there's this moment where we have to acknowledge and respect and wait that what we need to happen can happen if we're patient enough and trusting enough to allow it to happen. In the end, what should have taken me short part of an afternoon took me the entire part of a school week to try and assist him. And this was working on a clock to try and put things back together so that I could buy. I couldn't put it back together. And it was just one of those moments where it just had gone above and beyond what we could possibly ever do. My point is there's something we said in the Bible about this gospel where Jesus speaks very directly. He says that we're supposed to pray without becoming weary. And that sounds, it sounds exhausting. Could you imagine if someone tells you that you needed to keep walking without becoming weary? I mean, it just sounds tiring. But he says, pray without ceasing and without becoming weary. And it seems overwhelming. So he mentions this beautiful gospel. What is it that he's trying to point out? But confidence in our prayer. Remember that each and every time the widow comes to the judge and says, give me a just decision. She doesn't just want a decision in her favor. It's not like she's looking for an angle up on this. No, she wants justice. She knows that she's in the right, and she doesn't threaten. She doesn't say, would you please? She doesn't say, I don't know if you've decided yet or not, but I really need you to think about this. Don't underestimate that there was no habeas corpus, no promise to a fair and speedy trial at this time, so judges could hear all of a case and then decide to think about it and just go home, and it could be weeks or months. He's thinking about it, and it's one of those things where he doesn't have to make with any kind of speed, so the widow comes to him and reminds him. Not because she thinks it won't happen, but because she's confident it will happen because of her constancy. There's no uncertainty in the widow. What does she say? She says, render a just decision. Long time the judge may be unwilling, but she continues to say, just render me the just decision. It's that confidence. It's that belief. It's that faithfulness that really actually speaks to exactly what Jesus is trying to point out without becoming weary. God loves a confident prayer. If we can bring our needs, petitions before God with confidence that He will hear us, with confidence that He will answer us, knowing full well that it is our constancy that speaks more than anything else, then we really have nothing to fear from Him. that we continue to bring that prayer and ask God, God, I need this to happen. I need you to watch over my family. I need this and this. It shouldn't just be what we need to demand. We should have a conversation with God. But we should have that confidence. You know, we live in a strange world where things happen faster and faster all the time. We get things quicker and quicker. We don't really have a lot of need for waiting and expectation as we once did. If you live in certain cities, you can actually get Amazon to deliver things the same day you order it from Amazon via drone. That sounds both impressive and terrifying all at the same time. We have instant streaming movies. We have instant watch as soon as it's released to video. Who needs to stand in line waiting for a VHS, a Beta, a DVD, a Blu-ray, an HD DVD, or any other form of media? No, I can go on to any media device that is connected to the internet and 2-3 clicks, and man, I can watch just about anything that I can think of has been released. And with a little creativity, I can watch just about anything that I've heard of that hasn't been released yet, because piracy is not available right now. I mean, it's this immediacy, this quickness that begins to actually destroy something else within us. And that is the gift of allowing things to happen in their time. You know, it's remarkable, and it might sound overwhelming and tiring for us, but you know, Moses stands at the top of a battle. He stands over the side of the hill. And he watches the whole thing. And he knows that Joshua is supposed to win. God told him that Joshua is going to win. But he told him to stand at the hill to witness the victory. At no point does Moses ever actually wonder, oh my goodness, is Joshua going to win or not? No, he knows. He's been told. He's been promised. He has no reason to think otherwise. But he still has his role to fill. He still has to stand there, arms raised, to ensure victory. And it doesn't happen in 15 minutes. It doesn't happen in an hour. It takes all day. It is exhausting even for Moses. Who knows what will happen? It is still exhausting. They give him a rock to sit on. Because you know rocks, that's what everyone's asking to sit on these days. You know, it's the cool thing to sit on. Everyone thinks, man, that's really how I want to rest. They get Aaron and Hur to stand there and hold his arms up because the fatigue takes over. Because it becomes so exhausting. If you don't think it sounds that hard, I want you to just stand in front of your front door, and I just want you to lift your arms and wait for someone to knock on the door. Let me know how long you make it. It's a lot harder than it looks, let me tell you. I try to rest 10. It takes forever. I lasted almost 5 minutes. But we need confidence. We need that genuine confidence that acknowledges that our prayer will be answered in its time. I can't imagine what it would be like if I tried to hurry God every single time. We're all tempted to do it, you know? God, I really need you to do this. I know I should have asked this for you 6 months ago, but, you know, now I'm going to lose the house, so now I'm going to pray for it because, you know, I need it the next week. Kind of get under the gun, and then we kind of threaten God. God, it's all going to come apart if you don't do something now. God, you need to do this now, otherwise it's never going to work. We need our confidence in our prayer. And we need patience in knowing that constancy, that faithfulness, will actually make us more ready to receive an answer from God's prayers. I had to wait 8 years of seminary in order to become a priest. Trust me, it didn't take me 8 years to make up my mind whether or not I thought God wanted me to be a priest, but I still had to wait 8 years to become a priest. It was long, and at times I really didn't think I was going to make it. It seemed too long at times. I want you to imagine getting engaged to a girl and then telling her to wait 8 years before you marry her. Let me know how that works out. It's a little hair-raising at times. The most terrifying moment was when I transferred schools and they said it was going to be an extra year, and I thought it was actually going to be 9 years. Then I really didn't think I was going to make it, and that just wasn't going to happen. In the end, it was 8. But I had to be ready for God. It wasn't just me being ready. Be being made ready in the way that God wanted me to be ready. It was that confidence in that prayer, that constancy that saw me through, that really actually speaks to exactly what it is that God wants from us. Pray without ceasing doesn't mean that we have to be on our knees chanting the Psalms over and over again. It does mean that with each day, in each quiet moment, we take some time to think of God. Before you look at your phone, say a quick prayer. When you put your phone back down and you're about to start a conversation back up, say a quick prayer. It doesn't have to be long. It doesn't have to be some eloquent Shakespearean masterpiece. Just a reminder of who we are, how much we love God, and how very much we want to stay faithful to Him.